And now, filling in for Sam Cedar, Mark Maron.
It's me, 34 past the hour, Maron in for Cedar. I will start talking like Sam there for a second. I cannot take any more food. I can't, everywhere you go, there's cookies, there's chocolate, enough of that crap already. I can't take it anymore. I cannot control myself. If I have one piece of chocolate, it's days of consuming sugar. And then City Bakery sends over the sweet rolls today. You got to be crazy. It's made me, it's created a tangled mess in my brain.
It's like back in the old day.
I know. Feels like the old times. Dan, why do you smell like peppermint? Are you becoming, is this a Christmas thing? Are you wearing peppermint cologne?
No, we got a mouse problem in my apartment.
What the hell's that got to do with peppermint,
well,
Dan?
That's an excellent question.
Uh-huh.
And the explanation is that my fiance read that mice hate the smell of peppermint. So she went and bought some peppermint extract. Janie got peppermint extract, soaked cotton balls in it. Threw it all over our kitchen behind the fridge and the stove, and now our apartment smells like a giant candy cane.
Dude, does she not understand that these are New York City rodents? That, you know, whatever cute little holistic health food diagnosis of the problem is not going to be enough? That these kind of the New York City rodents don't respond to peppermint. They're probably dabbing themselves with the cotton balls.
Yeah, seriously.
They're like, hey, look, I smell nice.
Yeah, they think they're at Bed and Bath or something like that.
What are you, crazy? I literally saw a guy in a doorway fighting with a New York City rat with a bat. Okay, there was a crowd surrounded around this guy.
Were they
this
chanting, guy. Fight, fight,
yeah,
fight.
Well, the rat was cornered and this guy had a bat and the rat was like, yeah! And I really, you didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, it ended badly for the rat, but you didn't know what was going to happen for a minute. Because you hear these, New York City rats are mythic in the imagination of the rest of the world. The rats as big as cats. They fly. They can jump. So there's part of you that when you see one, you're like, oh my God, change the streets you're on. I just saw a New York City rat. I have had my problems with rodents. I've had issues with rodents. I've talked about this before in public, though I'm ashamed of it. And do you have the confessional music? Perhaps this should be part of a confession, but maybe it won't be. You probably don't have it. But look, I had an experience when I worked at a restaurant when I was much younger. I was working, I was in college, I was working at a restaurant, and there was one of those things where they put the glue traps out. They put the glue traps out, and I'd never dealt with this before. I'd never seen a glue trap before, and we all come in the morning, and there's a mouse stuck on a glue trap. And if you know what that looks like, that means that the mouse is still alive, and it's stuck on this glue trap, and it's like, you know, it can't do anything. And there's four of us standing around there. There's the confessional music. Barely awake. We're surrounding the mouse. And everyone's like, oh, that's sad. What are we going to do? I don't know. What are we going to do? What should we do? Should we just throw it out? And I impulsively just smashed the mouse with my foot. I stepped on it and squashed it. And literally, it was one of those moments where, did you see the end, you know, the end of Full Metal Jacket? Where Matthew Modine, you know, shoots the Vietnamese woman. And everyone around him, like, they're like, hardcore, man. Hardcore. That was the moment that I had at the restaurant. With the mouse, everyone looked, they never looked at me the same. I was, from that point on, the killer of the mouse on the glue trap. Now, I feel bad about that because there's a couple instances in my life where one time I shot a pigeon with a BB gun. I've never recovered from that. If I think about it deeply enough, it was my friend's BB gun. It was one of those peer pressure things. We're like, come on, dude, shoot it. And I shot it, and it still hurts me. I can't handle it. Maybe I'll tell you the possum story. Maybe. I like the way I can transition from a ran and a rock right into rodents.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's a way to deal with it, Dan. I when I was in Astoria, I had the mouse problem, and I let them live with me. This is my thing now. I mean, it's like the thing with the cats.
You coexisted.
Up to a point. So what happened was, I saw mouse poop. There was mouse poop on the floor. There was mouse poop, in this bowl down that was on a shelf. And I'm like, crap, we got a mouse, and I don't know what to do about it. And I was willing, if he pooped on things that weren't really by my food or I didn't need, I was like, all right, I'll deal with this. I'll deal with the mice. They're animals as well. Yeah, you can turn the music off. They're animals as well. So I coexisted with the mouse until the day came where I woke up, and there was mouse poo on top of the refrigerator. And I could not figure out how it got there. And I was baffled and angered that the mouse had somehow done something that I didn't understand. And it was at that point where I made the decision to kill it. And I woke up across the line. Right, yeah, there's poop on the refrigerator. How did you do that? No, I'm not going to be threatened by rodent intelligence. So I put out the glue traps, and I caught a couple mice. And eventually you forget the glue traps are there, and then you'll find that mouse that's been there for months, and it's all dried and crackly. But the thing is, Dan,
so you can smell those in my apartment. We caught one of the traps, and you could smell it. We have a snap trap. But we didn't want the exposed snap trap, because then you got to look at the dead, crushed mouse and it splatters.
Well, what the hell? But see, the thing is, my friend Jonathan told me there are these traps. I feel like we've talked about this before at some other time, but I don't know if there's a healthy way to kill mouses.
They have traps that catch the mouse and keep it alive.
Yeah, but then
you got to go set it free.
Yeah, but where are you going to set it free? Out in front of your house?
Exactly.
Are you going to do what your dad did when you were a kid and your mom didn't want him to have the cat in the house and you took it for a ride? Were you going to drive the mouse over to Staten Island? To what end?
No, exactly. And that's why I didn't get that kind.
Well, I got a friend of mine from Montana who's like, they don't even think of mice as animals. They're just they're pests.
Well, after I crushed my first mouse, which is what happened about a week ago.
Oh, my God.
I had never actually killed one until I crushed it at like 1:30 in the morning the other night.
Ugh.
And it didn't feel as bad as I thought it would, to be honest.
How'd that happen? You just snapped and you just crushed it?
Well, we saw it running around the kitchen. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. We want to go to bed. I can't go to bed knowing there's a mouse running around the kitchen a few feet from where I'm asleep. So the thing runs out and it ended up underneath the garbage can in the middle of the kitchen. So I'm standing there in my boxer shorts with sneakers on, with a boot in my hand. Janie has the raid like a gun. Janie karate kicks the garbage can over. The mouse makes a run for the closet. I missed it with my shoe. Now it's deep in the closet, and we have to start pulling items out of the closet one by one. So each item we pull out of the closet, Janie pulls it out and throws it across the room, and then we're like with the raid and the shoe, as if they're loaded guns pointed at the inanimate object we just threw out of the closet in case the mouse is in there.
And Dan said, oh, no, we're going to have to fold this stuff again.
Yeah. So we ended up emptying out the entire closet, finding the mouse in the back of the closet. Janie shot it with the raid to stun it.
Yeah.
And I brought the hammer down, because at that point I was so pissed that I hadn't been able to go to bed.
You were awful.
You remember that movie? Remember that movie, City of God?
Yeah.
Where the guy shoots the kid in the foot and then gets the kid to kill the other kid? That's Pashman. He just got his first taste of it.
It's just awful. It's a horrible feeling to kill an animal. The possum situation.
Do you want to go down that road, or are you going to cry if you tell that story?
Did I tell you that story?
I don't remember. If I don't remember,
it just happened. It just happened.
Yeah.
If anyone has in any way to help Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, with this mouse problem that may not hurt the mouse, though he has crossed the line, because once you get a taste of mouse blood, there's no end to the killing. But if you have an idea, 866-303-2270. This is Holiday Talk. That's what we're doing now. This is Holiday Talk.
That's right.
I had a possum in my yard. And
as a pet?
Take it easy. I had a possum in my yard. And the first time you see a possum, it's. I think everyone has the same reaction. You're like, what the hell is that? What is it? Is that a rat? What is that? Oh, my God. Oh, it's a possum. It's very weird to see a possum in the light. It's sort of like seeing a drug addict during the day. You know, you have that moment where you feel like you're intruding, or you're like, I'm sorry. And because they're nocturnal and they're freakish. But I like knowing it was out there. I only saw it a couple of times. And I really like knowing, because it was kind of cool. We'd have these moments. I'd go out to my office. I'd be like, there's the possum eating a banana peel out of the garbage. And it kind of looked at me and freaked me out. Whatever. It was neat, because they are kind of intense looking animals. So the last time I saw the possum, I'm pulling out of my driveway. It's at night. I'm going to a show. I roll down my driveway. I look into the driveway, and there's the possum lumbering up the driveway. And it's big. It's like the size of a cat, and I'm not kidding you. And it's lumbering, and I'm like, oh, my God. Did I hit the possum? Oh, my God. So I park the car. I run up the driveway, and the possum is sitting there going, yeah, like screaming, okay? So I didn't know what to do, so I started crying. All right, so I'm standing there in the driveway. The possum's screaming. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. And I didn't know what to do. And I'm freaking out, and I'm like, who do you call? Is there some sort of possum rescue squad? Do I call the city? Do I say I hit a possum? No, because they're going to go, who cares? Is there some sort of strange group of marginalized middle-aged women who run around saving possums like they do cats? Because I've dealt with those people before. Is someone going to help me with this possum? And then it hits me in the middle of my hysterics and the possum's hysterics that possums play possum. That's where it comes from. They play dead. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't know if there's a show beforehand, but perhaps, you know, this is just the lead up. Perhaps this is the possum equivalent of him going, oh, you got me. I'm hit. Oh, God. So what I do is I'm like, okay, I get it. Great. All right, you go ahead and keep this going because I know what you're up to. I'm going to take off for a few hours. And I'll be back and you'll be gone because this is just a little show leading up to the I get it. You're performing. That's terrific. So I go away for 3 hours. And after this break, I'll tell you what happens. It's Marin in for Cedar. It's 45 past the hour. Stay with us.
Mark Marin. Replacing one ranting Jew with another all week long on the Sam Cedar Show on Air America Radio.